Our reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians is near the back of the Bible if you're following it, and on mine it's page 1177, so it'll be similar in the pew Bibles if you want to follow them. And this is headed, The Armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And Paul's going to come and speak to us. Father, we thank you for the work that Paul's done for this, and we just ask your blessing upon him as he speaks this word to us. Please bless him as he speaks, and help us to hear what God is saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. This is a special word for Father's Day for all those who own our Lord God in heaven as their loving Heavenly Father. Okay? Many years ago, when I was working for the Central Electricity Generating Board, I used to cycle up to the top of Beckwith Knoll and go into my office there. And on a Tuesday, there were about 1,500 people on site. On a Tuesday, we would have a little Christian union meeting. And we would just meet in a little room and talk about different things. And one of the privileges that went with this was that I was allowed to write a column for the Beckwith Knoll News, which was the newspaper that went out to every single person on that site. This particular week, we read exactly that passage about the armour of God. So Tuesday afternoon, I duly wrote my little bit and sent it to the people who published it. And it came out on the Friday, and I hadn't seen it. But one of my workmates said to me, Paul, I think there's an error in what they've reported. This was a guy who'd been brought up in the church and went to a fairly traditional church each week. And he said, they've written about spiritual warfare. I said, yes. And he said, shouldn't it be spiritual welfare? And that really did make me think. Made me think about several things, but it made me think eventually about the link between spiritual welfare and spiritual warfare. If we want to be well spiritually, then we have to be doing warfare. Each one of us who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, or want to follow him, need to be aware that we are in a battle and that God provides all of the weapons that we need to resist the enemy. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10 about the ministry that he is sending them out to do, gives them specific instructions to preach the message of the kingdom of heaven, to heal the sick, to drive out demons, to cleanse the lepers, and to raise the dead. Take a big, deep breath when you read that. And a little bit later he says, when they are in difficult situations, not to worry about what to say, because at that time You will be given what to say, for it won't be you who's speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I wonder if this is what happened to Peter on the day of Pentecost. He was completely changed, wasn't he? And he spoke very powerfully in the name of the Lord. And then later, he was arrested, wasn't he? And he spoke to the authorities about what had happened. Paul talks about our weaponry in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, in verse 3 and 4. He says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." And the second part of today's reading, he outlines the nature of our weapons, and we'll come to that in a minute. He talks about the armour of God. Already in this massive letter to the Ephesian church, he's really punched it home. He's talked about some wonderful truth that he knows about. So he says in the first chapter, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Throughout the letter, he talks about all and everything that God has given to us. And finally, in chapter 6, verse 10, he starts with that word, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." He's saying, take account of all these wonderful truths that I've talked about in chapters 1 to 5. And now, this is the extra important bit that you need to take account of. So let's look at these 9 verses, which are so important for all Christians who mean business with the Lord. If you want to follow it in your Bibles, it's either page 1117 or page 1229, if you've got one of these newer Bibles. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. So firstly, Paul exhorts us to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. How many times do we read that throughout the Bible? One of my favourites is in the book of Joshua, in Joshua in chapter 1. He succeeded Moses as the leader of the Israelite nation as they marched into the promised land. So Joshua 1 and verse 6, he says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land." 3 more times he's told, "Be strong and be courageous." And last week at the 10:45 service, we sang, "Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you." St. Paul spells out the reason that we can be strong. It is God's mighty power. And early he's talked about that power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, being available for you and for me. He says, "Remember what has gone before." But now this chunk is really very important. Verse 11. "Put on the full armour of God." Not just part of it. Take the full armour of God. Why? So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Although many of our Christian brothers and sisters in foreign parts do have to fight physically against human opponents who are persecuting him for following Jesus, it would be unusual for you or for me to be physically tripped up or backhanded or hit over the head or shot. But be assured, if you belong to Jesus, Satan and his minions do not like it, and they'll do everything they can to bring you down or to dissuade you from following the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. In verse 12 and verse 13, he says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces. The spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. Four times he says that. Stand firm. John Stott, in his commentary on Ephesians, says this. Wobbly Christians who have no firm foothold in Christ are an easy prey for the devil. And Christians who shake like reeds and rushes cannot resist the wind when the principalities and powers begin to blow. Paul wants to see Christians so strong and stable that they remain firm even against the devil's wiles and even in the evil days. That is, in a time of special pressure. For such stability, both of character and in crisis, the armour of God is essential. The armour of God is essential. We don't have PowerPoint today, I'm sorry about that, but we're going to have to use our imaginations to picture a Roman soldier in all his finery. He would have a tunic, which would end in a fairly short skirt, but there would be metal pieces across the front, obviously to protect, well, who knows. On his chest, he would have a metal piece of armour, the breastplate. On his feet, he would have extra sandals, which had a corrugated sole to stop them from slipping and sliding. On his head, he would have a helmet, which would protect not only his face, but at the top of his head, the back of his head, and his neck as well. He would have a shield which would be nearly as tall as him, and it was specially fabricated so that when the flaming darts of the enemy impinged on it, it would just drop them off. And he would have a sword. He would either have a stabbing sword, or he would have the double-edged sword which the writer of Hebrews talk about. So you get the picture. If you want to see exactly what he looked like, you can either go on Google or you can look at my picture at the end of the service. So how does Paul relate this soldier's gear to what you and I need in our spiritual battle? Well, let's follow it through. In verse 14, he talks about the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So firstly, we need to know the truth of the gospel, the truth that sets us free. Jesus tells his followers in John chapter 8, 31, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are you a disciple of Christ?
Yes.
That's four of us. If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But secondly, we need to speak the truth, to be honest in all we say and all we do, and speaking out God's love for every person. As with the soldier, ancient and modern, the belt holds everything together. Such is the truth. Secondly, verse 14, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. You and I have been made righteous by the death of Jesus Christ and by his mighty resurrection. It's as if Paul is saying, stick out your chest and shout out, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are righteous in Christ. Whenever we are feeling attacked or put upon by something we can't see and don't quite understand, we need to stand on that. We are the righteousness of Christ Paul, writing to Corinth again, says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. So let's claim that and live with that at the centre of our lives. Live with Jesus at the centre of our lives. Then the third piece of armour, verse 15, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. As he lives within us, he gives to you and me peace, not as the world gives it, but as a deep inner peace, giving us assurance and confidence in him and the power of his Holy Spirit. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And again, being strong in our faith, not slipping or sliding, being confident in the peace which God has given us, we can share that peace with those around us. So be ready. Verse 16 says, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Have you ever felt a prick of condemnation, or an untrue accusation, or a misrepresentation of something you have done? My guess is that each one of us will have done that at some time. These are the darts from the evil one that Paul is talking about. And he reposts them in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 by saying, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So put up your shield and tell Satan to get lost. I'm not having that. I'm not having that. I'm not having that. Men and women of God, hold fast to what God has given to you, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the truth which is revealed in this good book. And take the helmet of salvation. Physically, the head is probably the most vulnerable area of our body. And spiritually, our mind is very vulnerable too. It's here that the lies and the innuendos can take root. But not if we stand firm. Remember, four times in this passage, stand firm in the fact that we have been saved by Jesus. Not only that, but we are being saved, and we will be saved in the future when he comes again. Let's put on our helmets and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Some people say that this is the only part of the armour that can be used to attack. In the desert, as Satan tempted and tried to trip Jesus up, he stood upon Scripture. He quoted Scripture to which the devil had no answer. Herbert Lockyer has obviously read his Bible very well, because he's written this book, All the Promises of the Bible. And he talks about 8,000 Bible promises which he has found in the good book. You and I need to read it and pick up on those promises and stand on the Word of God. St. James, who was Jesus' stepbrother, understood this. He wrote, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. If we include that as part of our armour, which I think we should, that makes 7 parts of armour. Lord, please help us to pray for protection, praying for our needs, praying for the needs of the world, praying for other people and praising God and thanking our living Heavenly Father, our Saviour and our Lord Jesus and our powerful and interceding Holy Spirit for all he has done for us and for all he has given to us. We worship you, the Holy Trinity. And as we trust and hope in you, you've heard these words before, you will renew our strength. We will soar on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not be faint. Heavenly Father, please equip us. Equip us with your armour. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And help us to walk tall with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.